Hi, hello and welcome. This is the interview with Sammy, an architect from South Australia working at Balcoolta, an architectural practice here. This clip was used to put together the full-length documentary Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect. If you're thinking of entering the architecture or interior profession, you've got to see it. That link is going to be up above or in the description below to check that out. But without further ado, let's get on with the interview.
So my name is Mohammed Sami Sultani, call me Sam for short. I'm an architect at Balcoolta, part of the main focused architecture team. In here, day-to-day tasks in terms of understanding production and then helping with the design elements, anything you do as an architect, I guess. So it can vary between day-to-day, but at the same time, it's just trying to be a part of the whole team.
And how long have you been in the profession for?
I graduated in 2014, but I started actually working and had some work experience while I was at third year uni. That'll make me almost like six and a half to 7 years. It's been a very quick 6.5 years, I guess you call it. It's just gone by the flash of an eye. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Why architecture? What made you want to be an architect?
I was always very moved by buildings, moved by architecture. I knew what I wanted to be when I was in sixth grade. So I was lucky enough in that aspect, and then was quite driven by being an architect early in high school. I had also a really good design teacher while at school. Got along really well, and he used to study architecture as well. That also kind of drove me to a huge amount and gave a lot of momentum to giving a good foundation going into uni and getting out of uni as well. So
when you're not in the office, do you have any hobbies outside of architecture or like
when
you spend your time
in and not here? Yeah, so I love cycling, so I try to cycle as much as I can. I used to be a bit more serious into it, but now just it's kind of a casual thing. I love playing sports. Not a huge person of watching sports, but I love playing it. Anytime I get out and play tennis or play soccer, always out there. Drawing, I draw and paint sometimes whenever I can. Yeah, essentially anything else to help me with my profession and at the same time generate good ideas. I'm always driven by how things work. That's why I spend a lot of my other time reading or studying different things and watching different stuff to help generate good ideas and good design outcomes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you think your education prepared you for the stuff you're doing today?
University was quite amazing. So I went to the University of South Australia. You had the 3 years of honours, 2 years of masters. The first 3 years I found in terms of an experience was really challenging. Looking back at it in hindsight, it's a way to develop your thinking. Whereas the last two years for masters is more about perfection of understanding how to get your skills to do and generate the work required to present and communicate your ideas. So essentially uni was a way to help you think about architecture and think about it in an architectural manner, and that's a bit more traditional. It helped you build the skills to develop and way to communicate your ideas. However, when you go into profession, there's all these other aspects of it that you generally didn't have a huge focus on. There was actually courses based and electives based on the other aspects of architecture, but because architecture is so broad, you have thinking element and then the communication element, producing drawings and diagrams and renders. Whereas when you go into profession, you learn more about the ethics, the code of practice, how development plans are rolled out, the approval processes for buildings, all of the legal aspects of it. All of that stuff is not really focused on at university, but I reckon you have a general good understanding of getting into the workforce after uni, which is pretty good. So yeah, it did prepare you, but don't expect to know everything getting into practice, because everybody is well aware that as a graduate, you're not expected to know everything. And it's just a way for you to kind of learn and then be shaped as well within the culture and the working environment that you are in.
What do you think are some of the biggest similarities or some of the biggest differences between your education and university and then working in the practice?
The biggest similarity is that everybody's driven by architecture. Everybody's driven to an agenda, an architectural agenda, and a way to provide a better outcome than what is exactly there. So I guess that's the biggest similarity, is that you have people who are more senior, more experienced than you. They're still driven by the same passion that you are driven in. The biggest difference is the thinking in terms of how to do it. More traditional practices and different architectural styles, that can also be quite different. At university, it's a bit more independent and you formulate your own thinking. You have an architectural style that you prefer. Whereas if you go into practice and depending if your architectural style aligns with the practice's architectural style, then it can be a really easy moving forward. But if it's not, then it's kind of hard to align that, and you have to reconcile within yourselves why that is. And what does good design mean? Does it mean that it's something that you like in terms of being, I don't know, just minimal design or minimalistic in approach? Or is it something that is quite expressive and, you know, colourful? So you just really have to kind of question yourself all the time.
If you could sum up your experiences of architecture school being, say, one word or one sentence kind of, or even like a couple of keywords, how would you do that?
Yeah, a couple of keywords. One is culture. Particularly lucky in my year level that we had a very strong culture. Everybody got along with everyone. That also drove each other to being a bit more competitive. So that's another keyword. Being able to understand who does what. So if someone's really good at something, you'd be able to go and help each other as well. So that's why I said it's good culture. So I think that's the two is probably the main culture and competitiveness. Yeah.
Is there anything you do, say, in the morning when you first wake up, or, you know, any kind of morning rituals or activities you do when you first wake up and want to get into the office?
Yeah, so it does change from depending on which stage of your life you're at. Our office resides in the Adelaide City. We don't necessarily have a lot of free parking around, so essentially that kind of leads me to cycling to work every day, which is a really good thing. And just because of the coronavirus, when we did have to work from home, that was one of the biggest aspects that really stood out, saying that threshold between going from your home life and your personal life to a work life, that ritual of riding and commuting to work every day was a huge aspect, and you're able to mentally shift between the two. It's also a point where good ideas and thinking come as well, because, you know, it's necessarily about half an hour ride, so you're just kind of immersed into the environment, and then at the same time just thinking about your day as well. And as a ritual in the morning, it's about thinking what you're going to do. It's good to kind of go for a run, so sometimes go for a run right early in the morning, or if I can after work as well. Those are the two biggest rituals. Is to keep on top of your mental health, you have to stay a bit physically strong as well.
During the day, what is the most common things you work on?
So we're essentially a Revit-based practice. Everything we do is either in some shape or form around Revit. So we're using Revit as a program to generate most of our ideas. There are a couple of different ways in terms of modeling. So it can vary day to day, but most days it's actually either Revit. And then, you know, if it actually requires InDesign, is a huge aspect. So the whole Adobe suite, being able to craft things as well. So either you do it through a 3D printer or you actually physically make models. Being able to have that ability to kind of craft something really nice and neatly and quite efficiently as well.
What are you enjoying most being an
architect? Actually, I was thinking about this a while ago, and the thing about architecture is that it changes every day. So you're not necessarily working on the same thing. Well, it may seem that you are, but you're not, because, and this depends on the practice that you're in as well, the phases of projects change between their timelines. So some days, you know, you might be in Revit for a whole week or 2 weeks and trying to produce something and get it out and trying to make it work and be perfect. Whereas sometimes you're in Excel for a couple of days trying to make sure your schedules work correctly. When it does work beautifully, it's so good. But at the same time, it changes. So, you know, you kind of be on site. If things are in production, if you're doing contract administration, then it's actually trying to understand the technicalities of a contract, and therefore you'd be more in Excel at those times. So yeah, it does change. That's the best thing about architecture, is that it varies from day to day and project to project as well. So some projects you're working on something that's quite large, and then if you go into something quite small, it's quite freeing to be able to kind of work at different scales as well.
What are you enjoying least about being an architect?
The least is the frustration. I think everybody as an architect have a utopian idea, you know, depending on all the different demographics, socioeconomics, and all of these different aspects that come into to create a whole system of a city. It can be quite frustrating if there are opposing arguments, and then, you know, it's just sometimes doesn't really make sense. The other thing is that if you are producing and quite emotionally involved into a project as well, and if things don't go through the way you want it to, it can be quite frustrating. That is probably the biggest thing, but it's something that you have to reconcile with and come into terms with. That's why running helps.
Yeah,
and the cycling, you know, to and fro.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 10 being architecture, this dream job.
Yeah.
And 1 being, you know, living hell. How would you put architecture on a scale of 1 to 10?
Probably 8.5-ish. It is definitely something I don't regret doing. The best thing about it is that if you know what you're getting yourself into, know the time and know the worth and know the outcome, then it's actually quite rewarding. So that's why 8.5.
Why, like, what are some of the biggest challenges or you've sort of touched on this, but is there anything else you want to add to that? Like, what are some of the biggest challenges about architecture?
When you learn architecture, you learn another language. It's actually good to recognize that you speak in a different jargon, different terms. So, you know, if you were to go to a doctor, you're totally speaking to a huge different vocabulary set that they've got relate to, you know, what their profession is doing. Same thing with architecture. We look at things differently and we use words that don't necessarily mean the same thing in plain English. So the challenge is communication. How do you communicate your ideas? And that was one of the biggest things I was actually focused at on uni, because if you're not able to communicate your idea and express and do it justice, then actually you're not expressing yourself quite well. So how you do that is quite hard. So the challenge is that you are immersed in a disciplinary and inter-industry communication. So, you know, you're talking to lawyers, talking to doctors, talking to developers. All of these people have different languages that they speak and different ways of understanding architecture, because that's what you're producing for. If you're able to communicate what you're doing, what, you know, the merits are, what all the basis that you put your design forward, design thinking into and taking it forward, that is probably the biggest challenge. Because if you're able to communicate well, then you're able to get a project to go through and go ahead. So,
if you can go back to when you first started, I guess before uni or
yeah,
your first year of uni, would you have any advice for your younger self?
Oh, yes, yes. Discipline is probably the best thing I could say. When I was at uni, you used to do heaps of all-nighters. Worked really hard to understand everything and try to produce and work. But necessarily not having the right amount of discipline. When you are working, you're not actually working. One thing I would say is to have dedicated zones of working and just make sure you stick to it. The other thing is being able to be a bit more receptive and communicative of others in terms of how they're going as well. You learn so much more of your peers than you actually, I think, would recognize. So having a good, that's why I said before, a good culture is important. So if you do have a good culture at uni and being able to leverage off one another, it's quite important. It gives you not only emotional support, but also like physical and educational support as well. So it's quite important. And the other thing is to read and be receptive of everything and be like a sponge, because it is quite important, you know, knowing your theory, although, you know, there's a huge difference between the two. Knowing your theory helps you to generate better ideas and then question ideas at the start as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that was the last question, but I guess I want to give one final call. Like, do you have anything else you'd like to say, or any advice for other younger students?
I think I want to touch back more on why I do architecture as well. I love architecture. I think it's something that drives me. And it's not only that, it's the fact that, and I don't want this to be an elitist thing, it's the fact that you are putting yourself and devoting your time and devoting your skills to a better outcome, something that means a lot more to more than other people. So especially my focus here at Backculture is to provide a perspective and provide an architecture that are able to help other people, whether it's through being able to increase the capacity of the city, increase production, or also just having better design elements and better appreciation and education of it. Why you'd be an architect, it's not a self-justification of in terms of the profession, but it's more about you have to provide a considered approach considering all the elements that are required. So economical requirements, socio-demographic understanding, political understandings, and political environment, sustainable understandings in the environment, and then on top of that, innovate. You're supposed to be innovative in terms of what materials you use, what materials that you could use, what are some things that we've just based on and then took for granted in terms of knowing, so in terms of how windows work and all of that. But at the same time, what are the ways that we could do it better? Why I love being an architect is that you're able to take all of these aspects and then join them and then create something of an outcome that will provide a huge range of meaning in terms of whether it be a practical, you know, comfort, or if it's a something of a signature building that creates better tourism, better culture for the city itself and for the whole city to be proud of having that. So that's why I became an architect. Yeah.
How bloody cool was that? If you haven't checked out the full-length film Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect, you've got to set some time aside for that, because it's pretty incredible what some of these guys have to share with you, some information and resources that will be really helpful if you're thinking about studying architecture or you just want to get an insight into the profession. So if you want to check that out, you can click that button to the side here, or if you just want to go on with the next interview, check out that button to the side there. Catch you there.